This show was made at Access Radio Taranaki in New Plymouth, thanks to New Zealand On Air. For more local content, search for accessradiotaranaki.com.
Kia ora, my name's Rex Lovegrove, and welcome to Colours of the Heart, looking at life's challenges from a place of presence and compassion.
Imagine there's no heaven.
Welcome forward to Colours of the Heart. Of course, you're with Rex Lovegrove. And hey, big mihi out to Access Radio Taranaki. And my sponsors, Kiwi Bike. Love ya, love ya, love ya. Hey, I've got a soulful soul in the house. And, you know, I'm feeling a little bit nervous because he's got a really long name. And so I'm going to do my best. respectfully pronounce his name.
Hamada.
Tēnā koe, my brother. Hey, thank you for being on the show. I understand you're going through a 19-day fast. Did I get
yes,
that right?
Yes.
Hey, look, mate, can you share a little bit about your faith in relation to your fasting?
Yes, I'd be happy to. I believe in the Baha'i faith. The Baha'i faith started in the middle of the 18th century, and it is a faith that calls for the uniting of all mankind in oneness. And oneness does not mean sameness. Oneness as in recognizing the unity and diversity, the differences of our cultures and colors and sounds all contribute to a beautiful garden. That the analogy that Baha'u'llah, the founder of the faith, uses is like we are the flowers of one garden. So we'll have different colors and different fragrances. But we are all in that one garden that's the world we live in today. So that's just the overarching mission of the Baha'i faith, is bringing all people together. There are different practices in the Baha'i faith. One of them is the fasting. So fasting is the abstinence from food and drinks from sunrise to sunset. So we can eat before sunrise and we can eat after sunset. And that is about 19 days long. And we talked a bit before the show about like what that represents. And for me personally, my understanding of it is that it's a muscle. When I want something and I can have it, but I choose not to, I'm building a muscle of self-restraint. And that's a muscle that can be beneficial in so many other areas of life. Also, I had read that all the prophets or the messengers or the holy beings of the past, when they came into contact with that source of spirituality, they forgot all about food because they were so overjoyed spiritually that food was meaningless. So I feel like it works the other way around, that if we forget some of our material attachments, food included, it might contribute to our spiritual upliftment.
Beautiful. Absolutely beautiful. And so how long have you been involved in your faith, my brother?
I became a Baha'i in 94. I was 15 at the time.
Wow.
Yeah.
And I suspect you have some stories.
Oh, a few. Yes. Which ones would you like to hear?
All right, mate, just bless us with that that's on your heart.
So today is the International Women's Day, which was not the topic we were going to talk about, but it's such an important topic to me. And one of the main principles of the Baha'i faith is equality of men and women. And so a personal story to me is I had always thought of myself as different. I had some struggles in the past with sexuality, and it just made me think of myself as not a typical man, whatever that is. So I thought, I'm very gentle, I'm in touch with my feminine side, I treat women differently, which to some degree it might be true. But recently I started to recognize that it's not true enough that I might have escaped the influence of the environment I live in. And it's definitely not true enough that I'm not enjoying male privilege. And more importantly, and I just wrote an article about that, it's not true enough for me to stop paying attention to my action. So the story is, I started to realize my male behavior around women and how I respond to their suggestions or their ideas, how much space I take when I'm in a consultative space around women. And I didn't like that. I was like, wait, that does not align with my beliefs. That's not the equality that I want everyone else to uphold. So I'm on a path of awareness and correction of my action in relation to equality. So that's a story that stems from my belief.
Oh, brilliant, my brother. And I understand, because you've got a whole toolbox of modalities and skills, and you are a life coach.
Yes.
Yes. Can you talk into that, please, brother?
Yeah, so I'm a member of the Australia-New Zealand Coaching Alliance, and I'm also a certified master practitioner of neuro-linguistic programming. And it's so beautiful, especially after getting my certification in NLP, understanding how the mind works. And one of the principles of NLP is that the map is not the territory. And the way we experience life is not necessarily what life is. So you and I are sitting in this room and looking at the colors around us. I might leave thinking, oh, it was beautiful and bright. And you might think, oh, it was a little bit dim. We should have turned on some light. Even though it's the same lighting in the room. So our perception of reality changes based on different things, our experiences of the past, how our mind works. So NLP kind of provides a manual for how my mind works. What is my map? And it gives me an opportunity to examine my map. Then I can think, is this map helpful or not helpful? Because there's no right or wrong. It's just a map. And in different territories, depending on what you want to do, certain maps are more helpful than others. So NLP gives me the chance to examine my map, see which context is it helpful in and use it, which context it's not helpful, and then choose to change and have a different map.
So how does that align with your faith? I suspect they would support one another.
They do indeed. They do indeed. So the understanding in the Baha'i faith, a human is a physical being and a spiritual being. Like there, we have a spiritual side and a physical side. And our journey on this earth, in the Baha'i writings, we use the analogy of the baby in the womb, or the fetus in the womb. And during the time in the womb, we're collecting arms and legs and ears and eyes and nose, and none of them is actually useful in the womb. In fact, the more you develop them, the tighter the space gets. It's not that useful to have long legs in the womb. But had we not spent the time building and developing these aspects of our physical being, we born in this world with difficulties and struggle. So in the same sense, our spirit in this world is being developed, and we're gathering all the qualities that are necessary for our spiritual journey in the afterlife. So if we have obstacles to our spiritual development, then we can examine these obstacles. And Baha'u'llah says, the founder of the faith, says, bring thyself to account each day. So we should examine actually our map every day and see, how was it? And it's not a matter of like beating ourselves up if we did something wrong or boosting our ego if we did something right, but rather, how's our growth? And are we growing? And if we're not growing, what's the obstacle? And what can I do to overcome the obstacle so that tomorrow, when I face a similar scenario, I can do it differently?
Beautiful. Well said. Well said. Whānau, you with Colours of the Heart. You heard it here first. Kia ora, my brother. We'll stop for a break. And if you haven't been told today, let me be the first. You are cared for. Kia ora. Hey, welcome forward to Colours of the Heart. And I've got a soulful brother in the house, and he's sharing aspects of his faith, his skills. And brother, you know, I'm really curious. If someone wanted to contact you in regard to that you do so well, how would they get in touch, bro?
They can call me on my phone, which is 021-813-004. They can also look up my website. It's a little bit of a mouthful, but if there's a link to it under the show, it's called hamadaelalemi.com. That's hamadaelalemi.com. So yeah, phone is the easiest way to get in touch with me.
How I'm feeling, and I've only known you for a short time, but I get a really nice feeling around you, and you've got a beautiful smile, and I say that with the absolute respect in relation to that you naturally do. And in our culture, in the Māori culture, we call building instant rapport, whakawhanaungatanga, building trust and rapport, and there's a process, and you do it really skillfully and instantly by just being you. You're most welcome. You're easy to like. And so I'm really curious, and I don't intend to put you on the spot here, but in some ways I am. You're a family man too, eh?
Yes.
There's your smile. It's just growing 2 inches, whānau. There's your smile. Can you talk about your whānau, if that's appropriate, brother? You know, you and your loved ones and what it means to you?
Yes. So I have my immediate family that lives here in New Plymouth is my wife and my three children. I've got two girls and a boy, ages, one turns 8 tomorrow, and then 10 and 12 year olds. I'm also a son of mom and dad. I'm a brother to my sister who's married and having a boy in the US, and a brother to my late brother of mine who passed 10 years ago in December. So that's my family. And they are the driver for growth for me. I had such critical view of parenting when I was a teenager and in my early 20s. I was like, parents don't know what to do with their kids, and I'm going to be a dad and I'm going to show them how it's done. And then I had my first son and I called my mom and I said, I'm sorry. I had no idea how hard work this is. But other than it is hard work, it is also really a source of growth and joy for me. And every day I mess up and every day I learn something new. And that's one of the ways I love NLP, because it just offered me personally a different way of dealing with my children. Mm. Like I grew up being beaten up, for example, for doing something wrong. And even though I don't beat my kids up, it's still the response in my head is like, if they defy their father, they just need to be smacked into obedience. And to resist that, it just creates this inner turmoil within me, and I have to suppress it so that I can deal with the situation better than how I was raised. And then I looked at the tools within neurolinguistic programming and realized that I don't have to keep fighting the anger within every time my kids defy me. So I could use some of the tools to actually feel thoughtful in response to the situation rather than feel anger. And I wouldn't have pursued something like this if I was not a father. So my family is the constant driver for my personal development.
Aren't they our greatest teachers?
They are. Yeah.
And if you don't mind me pursuing, you know, your family, but you know, I noticed the joy and the challenge that was beaming from you in relation to your relationship with your whānau. We're living in a society where there's so many indifferences and challenges around parenting, and some could perceive a lot of judgment around what we should or shouldn't do.
And if
someone turned up to get support from you in regard to a challenge with a teenager or a relationship that's going a little bit wayward. And so I'm sort of putting you in the hot seat, but I've got a feeling that you're accustomed to the hot seat. In fact, I think it's your friend.
To some degree.
How would you navigate that situation?
It's a really good question. And I actually faced that a lot. Like some parents would come and approach me and say, my son is this or my daughter is that. And my first call to action is to connect with the person in the room first. Because we could sit here, the two of us, and discuss someone else. Even if that someone else is the dearest and most loved person in our life, they're not in the room. So I need to first connect to the parent and understand their experience and help them understand how they're responding and see if that response is helpful from their point of view. And if it's not helpful, what would they like to have in their place? And that could be the first step, is how would they like to be, and help them be the way they want. And then as they do that, that automatically shifts the dynamic between them and that teenager that they love and care for. Because I always say that life is a series of inputs and outputs, and you only need to change one of the many inputs to change the entire output. And the one input that's within our control is me. How do I respond to the situation?
And responsibility, from my position in the world, is the ability to respond rather than react. Indeed. Love your cordial around that, brother.
Yeah.
How long have you been doing the dance? And I want to say this with respect in regard to your coaching practice. How long have you been building that and growing that and expanding into it?
I'd say in different forms over the last maybe 15 years. I've only had my practice as a business for about 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
But I've stepped into different spaces in my life where coaching was a joy of mine, whether at work when I was in the corporate world, or as a volunteer in my community work, or with various organizations like Lifeline. So I've always wanted to do that type of mahi, and only committed to it as my life's work 2 years ago.
So the man you were, let's say for shits and giggles, 15, 20 years ago, into the man you are now. Okay, can you give us a bit of an illustration or a roadmap?
Yeah. So 15 years ago, I was not married and I did not have children. I had such an air of confidence, or ego maybe, about like the world and how it should run. I thought I knew it all, and I knew how to fix relationships, or thought I did. I knew how to help all the parents in the world to be better parents. I really perceived myself as I can just get it all sorted. I remember, and that stemmed from long before 15 years ago. I remember as a child, the Iraq and Kuwait war broke up. And I felt like if they just let me speak to Saddam Hussein, I will stop the war. So I don't know, naivety, ego, confidence, I don't know what you call it. Today, I'm realizing that I don't know a whole lot. The more I learn that I need to learn more. But also not in a helpless kind of way, but in an exciting, hopeful kind of way. So it's like, ooh, I could learn about this. I thought I knew this, but I now need to learn about this. And the opportunities for me, like I shared the story about my interaction with women, that came to realization actually a few days ago, where I was sitting and consulting with a few women, and I noticed I'm speaking way too much. And like, I don't know how to behave in this situation in a way that is helpful. So there's an opportunity for me to learn. So maybe, the difference is just a drop of humility in comparison.
Well, the smallest changes often have the biggest impact.
Mm.
Have the biggest impact. Hey, brother, I've really enjoyed your corridor. Hey, whānau, I highly recommend this gentleman if you are open to expanding into more of that you'd prefer to experience. I give this gentleman a green light.
Thank you.
Oh, brother, you're easy to love, my bro. You're easy to love. Whānau, you have been told. But once again, you are cared for. Kia ora. Thank you for your time and your ears. If you are inspired and stimulated by what has been said, you can contact me at Mountaintop Life Coaching and look forward to hearing your feedback. If you haven't been told today, let me be the first. You are cared for. Kia ora.
Imagine there's no heaven.
This show was made at Access Radio Taranaki with help from New Zealand On Air. To find more local content, go to our website, accessradiotaranaki.com.